He's a husband, a father. He is a man of integrity, and he loves God with all of his heart. And I know that you're going to be blessed just by his title. I can tell it's going to be an amazing night. His title is It Ain't Nothing But a Setup. And so would you please give Ryan McDonald a big hand tonight?
Man, that was pretty good for the amount of people here tonight. You guys are loud. Are you good tonight? Good. I'm good. I'm going to get right into it if you don't mind. I just want to say before we start, you know, we walk in here tonight and the sidewalks are almost dry. There's salt down. Chris Busniak, Ben Martin, Garrett, you guys did an awesome job. It all looks good. Will you give them a hand? You know, they're the three most important people here tonight. Scripture says that the greatest among you is a servant. Amen. So I'm going to, my first reading will be out of Acts 3. Are you there? Debbie, you're awesome too. Are you there, Acts 3? Acts 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Do you know what alms are? It's money or food. He was asking for benevolence. So when they say benevolence in the videos, it's alms too. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked him for alms. And Peter, fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such I give to thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet, his ankles, his bones received strength. Tonight, the title of my message, and I have to tell you that any time that I ever speak, and you know, you can speak in a lot of ways. You can speak to people in a 6x6 office. You can speak in front of people at a church. You can speak to a friend. But anytime you speak into someone's life, people believe you when you've experienced what you're speaking to them about. You know, you can preach more with experience in your words than you can preach by reading alone. So tonight, the title of my message, and Aaron put up there, "It ain't nothing but a setup." So them are my words, but let me get the grammar down for you. It's a setup. How's that? Man, everybody's looking. You guys are serious tonight. It ain't nothing but a setup. Let's pray together. Father, we just give you this time. God, we just thank you that we can come into this house. And Father, we can proclaim that it's your time. God, that we don't need to perform, we don't need to put up a facade, but Father, we can walk in and you take our junk, you take our troubles, you know who we are, and Father, you still love us. And it is in that sense tonight, Father, that we love you and we praise you and we worship you. God, I ask that as I speak tonight, as I share your word, Father, that every heart would understand, every mind would be open, Father, to your word. God, I just ask you tonight, that there be no flesh glory, that I'd get no glory from this, but God, the glory would be unto you. We give you this time, in Jesus' name, amen. So, this cripple man, he's laying at the gate called Beautiful. He's outside the temple, and it's so weird. I read this scripture probably 3 months ago, and And Friday, Dad said to me, do you remember, don't forget next Thursday now. And I said, what do you mean next Thursday? He goes, well, you're speaking next Thursday. And I said, Dad, no one ever said anything to me. I didn't know I was speaking next Thursday. And he said, oh, I must have forgot to tell you. I said, you must have forgot to tell me. He said, do you have something? And I said, as a matter of fact, I believe I do. And if you have the perfect life and you have the perfect family and you have the perfect marriage and you have it all together, this won't be for you. But if you're anything like me and you struggle day to day, you struggle with sin, you struggle with your kids, you struggle in your marriage, you struggle at your work, you struggle all the way around, this will be for you. Am I alone here tonight, or is there anybody with me? There you are. Okay. So, church in part, and I'm gonna read some of my notes tonight. And I have a tendency when I get up here, I run. But Father, we give you this time. But I wanna be specific about some of my notes, because sometimes God will give you something, and if you're not careful, you'll forget it. You gotta write it down. So I've written down some of these notes, and these are notes probably from the last 3 months. So I'm going to read some of them to you. Church in part is about saying thank you, Lord. Church in part is about saying thank you as a family. And you say, well, Ryan, what does this have to do with church? Well, they were headed to the temple. So to me, and you've heard it like I've heard it, well, I don't have to go to church to be a great Christian. You know, I praise on my own. I worship on my own. I pray on my own. But do you say thank you? Can you say thank you as a family, as a body, if you're not together? You can't do it. There's something about being with other people and praising and worshiping. And sometimes, you know, we'll go into a praise service. And I can say this because I've led worship at this church for 15 years. You'll go into a praise service and you'll be so happy that you've just survived the week that when people are looking at you and you're going crazy, you're lifting your hands. And I've danced in services. You've seen me do it. And people have looked on and gone. And I remember the night specifically that Roger Kennings was here with his group from Zion Dominion. And that was my birthday present from my dad. That's what I asked for. Because there's something about radical praise. There's something about worship that'll shift the situation. And it's not a coincidence that God brought this miracle outside of a temple. There is some practicality to that. It's not just on accident. It just didn't happen because it happened. Jesus, the scripture says, God's word said that it happened outside the temple on the ninth hour. So I want to leave you with that point. Don't miss God's time. You say, oh, and again, we can excuse it three ways to Sunday. And I've heard it all my life. And I got to tell you, up until the last year, maybe 2 years, I used to almost agree. Well, you don't need to go to church. But I'll tell you what, at the point of my life that I'm in, I need the support system. You need the support system that the body brings to you. Can you say amen? So church in part is about saying thank you. Church in part is about saying thank you as a family. Crazy praise is about thank you. Why do we praise? Because he saved us from life. If you live long enough, if you go through enough, you'll get on the other side of circumstances and you'll just say, I know I haven't made progress, but I haven't went backwards. So Father, I just thank you for that. There's Sundays I get up here and I say, God, I'm just thankful that I just made it through the week. I'm thankful that I didn't destroy my life. I'm thank you that I didn't blow up my circumstances. I'm thankful that you gave me one more week. Come on, say amen. I'm going to make one other scripture reference, and I believe the Lord gave me this other scripture reference, and it's going to be very short, but it's in Genesis chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. and darkness was upon the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Here's what I want to tell you. I believe this was the first reference to chaos, messiness in the world. Right in Genesis chapter 1, and the scripture goes on to say, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Well, you say, Ryan, what does that have to do with chaos? Because God made it so relevant to say, darkness was upon the face of the earth. You live in darkness. Yeah, Ryan. There you are. God will create real progress in chaos. And if you read the rest of the, I mean, you know it, right? Genesis chapter 1, have you read it? It went down through the creation of earth, and it shows the progress of light, of water, of ground, of trees, of growth, right? So that's the first reference of chaos in the scripture, but we have many more, but we will not face chaos, as I guess what the point is. And thank you, Aaron and Nathan, for coming in, even though you're late. I love you. They're my best friends, I can say that. So God will create real progress in chaos, and he shows us in Genesis chapter 1, you have to move forward in chaos. You have to move forward in problems. If you're facing a problem, if you're facing difficulty, if you got a mess in your family, if you got a mess with your kids, you have to move forward. Can you say amen, anybody who's experienced it? You have to move forward. So the first reference of chaos was Genesis chapter 1. Read more about it. I want to give you just one, for instance, of chaos that I've went through in my life. And some of you have heard it before. Some of you haven't. All my family's here tonight. You know all about it. You know, when I was in school, I was I struggled. I couldn't read. Like I should have been able to. I couldn't write like I should have been able to. I couldn't spell like I should have been able to. And I can remember sitting at the table with my dad or my mom. My dad tells a story. He used to write boards up and down the wall in the hallways. And I used to walk up them stairs. And I was thinking about that this week. I used to walk up them stairs and look at the posters and go, he's nuts. He's for sure nuts. It just didn't click. And I can remember being in the sixth grade, and this teacher, and I would never say her name in this setting, but I can remember the teacher looking at me and saying, you'll never get it. You remember that, don't you, Mom? Remember me coming home? My mom's about to cry over there. But put your own story into the chaos. Right? You've all got your own story. You can think of it right now. My story of chaos. And as life goes on, we all have our own story. My final point on this, don't wait for the peace that you think you have for progress. Don't wait for the perfect time to wait for progress. If God be for you, what is it, Romans 8:30, 31, somewhere in there. If God be for you, who can be against you? Amen? Tonight, there are some against you. There's some against me. There's people that heard I was speaking tonight, and they said, I tell you right now, I won't go. But there's others that said, I heard that he's speaking, and I have to go. And it's the same in your life. There's people in your life. If he does that, if she's that, if she gets that position, I'm telling you. But there's more. My dad used to say it all the time, and it rings in my ear. There's more for you than there are against you. And that's for somebody in this place tonight. I want to leave you with that. There's someone in this place. You might feel like the world's against you, but there's more for you than there are against you. I'm going to go back to Acts 3 now, the gate called Beautiful. The miracle sometimes of our lives can outshadow the mess, right? We don't like to talk about the messes, do we? We just like to talk about when we get on the other side and we can say, I made it, right? But sometimes we need to talk about it, because when others struggle and we just show our pretty side, our church side, right? You know what I'm talking about. I know you do. When we just show our church side, our pretty side, we lose our witness almost, right? Don't we? The miracle can outshadow the mess. Understand the time in which the crippled was healed. And I'm back to, are you with me right now, or am I getting confusing? Shake your head yes at me if you're with me. Okay, I feel better. So we're back at Acts chapter 3. The crippled man, at the time he was healed, Orthodox Judaism, right, was in trouble. Jesus came to earth. He performed miracle after miracle. And I'm really going to start hitting home here. And I believe the Spirit of God, I can even feel it now. Father, we give you this time. Orthodox Judaism was in trouble. It was under attack by Christ Jesus. It was being suggested that Jesus was the way, not the temple or the priest. Right? If you understand the scripture, people would bring the burnt offerings, they bring the drink offerings, they bring things to the temple. And guess who was receiving these offerings? Who was? The priests were, the people in the temple were, right? So when Jesus comes to the earth and he begins to perform miracles, signs and wonders, right? God sent Jesus, the only begotten Son. Are you with me? Right? He sends Jesus to the earth. Judaism says, oh, 1,000 years of theology, 1,000 years of thinking, 1,000 years of what we call methodology went into what they did every day. And Jesus comes onto the scene and all of a sudden they're going, wait a minute here. Right? So this is the time that the cripple's at the temple. Do we know why John and Peter were going to the temple? I knew I'd never stick with my notes. Do we know why Peter and John were going to the temple? They were going to the temple to defend Jesus. They weren't going to church like we're going to church tonight. They weren't with people who believe the same thing they believe. You didn't know this about the scripture because you haven't read it. Read your Bible more. This is what it teaches me. When I begin to read, the understanding of the word comes to light. So they go to the temple. John and Peter are headed to the temple. And they're, I kind of put myself in their shoes tonight. On the way here, dear Jesus, what did I say yes to? Why did I say yes to Dad when he asked me to speak? But you love me. Peter and John were going to the temple, and they were meeting up with people who hated them. Did you know that? So they head to the temple. And you know Peter and John are on the way, and the Bible doesn't say it, but man, are they that much different than we are? I don't, you know what I mean? Right? They're on the way there, and I guarantee they're saying, oh, John, I'll tell you what. Like I tell my brother-in-law, man, I don't know what we're getting. John, I don't know what we're getting into. Nathan, I'll tell you what, man. We said we're out on God's word right now. I'll tell you right now, if God doesn't make a way, we're dead. Anytime someone's significance is diminished by your presence, they become an enemy. John and Peter were the enemy of Judaism because the priest, the temple, their significance was lessened by the cause of Christ. Jesus was a savior, not the temple, right? Isn't that what we read? Isn't that what we're taught? Don't forget that. Anytime someone's significance is diminished by your presence, they become a secret enemy. Jesus was a son of God. He fed 5,000. He performed many miracles, too many to speak of tonight or note on. Remember who gave the order for the crucifixion of Christ. Do you know that? Do you know who sent the order? And we're not taught to hate. I'm not speaking of hate tonight. I'm giving you facts. I'm giving you scriptural facts on who ordered the crucifixion. The high priest of the synagogue of the Orthodox Judaism ordered the crucifixion of Christ. Did you know that? Man, sometimes, you know, we come to church. It's no different in churches. You think everybody's on the same page all the time? Let me tell you something. They're not. There's people who hate people across the room. And that's what Garrett was talking about on Sunday morning. If we can't minister love and peace and joy to each other, how can we minister to the world outside? And sometimes that's what the church gets caught up into. Hey, let's head over to the temple. Let's sell our time. There's three different groups of people in this text. There's one group, right? The beggar, the cripple at the gate. There's another set of people, the priest, right? That were at the synagogue. And there was another group of people. And I want to talk about the three groups. And what time is it? Because I can't see more than 10 feet in front of me. Oh, 25 off. Okay. There was three groups that followed Jesus. You know what? Let me just talk about a couple miracles. The group that followed Jesus, they were on the boat when the waves shook. And he spoke to it, "Peace be still." And the waves and the wind stopped. There was that story with a woman of the issue of blood. And she said, if I could only touch the hem of his garment. Peter and John knew of these stories. They watched it. But the people in the temple didn't know. You know what? There was no Facebook back then, right? There wasn't people going click, 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 click. The issue of blood, click, right? There was none of that. They knew of the stories. They saw the stories. The same Jesus that was crucified, they'd seen all the miracles that others hadn't. They had seen them from a back row seat. Jesus performed miracles. God was using Jesus. He wasn't using them. Right? Now we're at the temple. And the first thing, they show up alone, without Jesus present with them. And they wondered, will it work for me? And I felt the Spirit of God just stop me when I was writing these notes. There's someone here, maybe someone will listen to this. And you keep saying to yourself, will it work for me like it worked for Pastor Marty? Will it work for me like it worked for Chuck Wood? Can I minister the way Garrett ministers? Can I do it? You can do it, but the only way you can is by showing up to do it. And that's what Peter and John did. They showed up, right? So they showed up at the temple knowing they would meet people they wouldn't agree with. Not church people. They went to a service where their theology was not accepted and was not welcome. They were nervous and unsure. They wondered, would God use them like he used Jesus? Their power had not been proven. They hadn't shown themselves approved yet. They had to believe for God for themselves. Whether anyone agrees with you or not, you need your own faith. Believe it. Tonight, I want to tell you that I believe for you. You know, there's things that maybe you've struggled with for 40 years. Did you know the cripple was 40 years old when Jesus healed him? Check it out. 40 years old. He's a cripple for 40 years. You know, I always, you know, I'm that type of person. Why 40 years old, God? You know, sometimes God will put your struggle on display, won't he? You're like, oh man, I hope Pastor Marty doesn't find out about that. I hope this one doesn't see me. I hope that one doesn't see me. But sometimes your struggle will be put on display. So you have three groups on the scene. Group one, you have a religious group. They wanted to fight to keep their theology. They wanted to fight to keep their place, right? And let's not kid ourselves. There was money involved, wasn't there? They had risk, right? They were worried. Group two. You have a group of unproven apostles challenging Judaism, praying that what they've seen and witnessed will work for them. Peter and John had a position, but they were nervous. They were unsure. Has God ever given you a position you were unsure you could fulfill? He's given me them. Group three, a crippled man, 40 years of age. The only reason he was there was for benevolence. You know what the amazing part about the scripture is? Right? The crippled man, he's not even there for a healing. He didn't go for a healing. It says nowhere in the scripture that he was at. You would assume he was at the temple. He was crippled. He was at the temple for healing. Right? Anyway, you ever met a person come to church and you kind of know them and you know the issue and you go, oh, I know why he or she's here. You don't know because they're not always at the temple for the reason they need to be at the temple. But that doesn't matter, does it? We learn that in this story. He was at the temple. Not even asking for healing, asking for benevolence, asking for money, for food, whatever it was. So them are the three groups. Three different kinds of people with three different agendas. All of them had a different plan than God did. Are you with me on the groups? The apostles, the priests, the cripple. One more note on the crippled man. He was allowed for 40 years of lack to set the stage for a move of God. Who's had a long-standing problem here tonight? Who's had that issue? You say, God, why for so long? Why have I struggled with this for so long? Why have I went out on your word? And my problems were put on display. It doesn't matter how long it's been. It doesn't matter how long your marriage has been a wreck. And you've been trying to hide it from everybody. It doesn't matter how long your finances, you can't add three and three. Every time you look at your checkbook, it's a mess. Am I talking to somebody? You can't always hide, right? You can't hide all the issues. You hate your job. It might have been that way for a long time. Something specifically in your life. You might hate your husband. Don't say amen tonight. You might hate your wife. You might have health issues that have been there for years and for years and for years. It doesn't matter how long they've been there. It's a setup. For a miracle. Ooh, I like that. It's a setup. When you just think you're out, when you think you're all screwed up, you think you're all done in, man, I could tell story. Maybe 20 years from now I could tell some of the stories, but I can't tonight because I'd embarrass some. But the setups that God makes, God's got it all worked out. The baby you wanted, the job you wanted, the education you wanted, your health hole. He's working it all for a setup. What they had in mind, the cripple had in mind, the priest had in mind, the apostles had in mind, is not what God had in mind. You might have something in mind tonight. You might have a struggle. You might have this specific way you think you're going to manipulate your way, and you're going to have this private conversation with God and say, God, this is the way that I want it fixed. It might not work that way. Can you say amen tonight? I want to read you the rest of the scripture, because the story is amazing. And if you have time, every time I read this story, I got more out of it. And he was leaping. He was just healed, and he was leaping. He stood and he walked, and he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew which it was, the man who had sat for alms at the gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement. Scripture says the priests were filled. The people in the temple were filled with wonder and amazement. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them onto the porch, and he called Solomon's greatly wondering. And when Peter saw, he answered unto the people. He had a voice. He thought he'd go in there. He figured, Peter and John figured, we're going to walk in there. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to say what we got to say. We're going to hightail it out the back door if God doesn't show up. Read the scripture. They didn't know this was going to happen. Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man walk? He's saying, don't look at us like we made it happen. And that's the problem sometimes when God moves. That's the problem when God changes someone's heart, when he performs a miracle in a service. People start looking at people. It's not about the people. It's not about who's speaking. It's not about who has the mic. It's about what God can do in a service, what God can do outside the door of a service. You might get healed out on the front sidewalk. You might get healed on the way in from the back door. But it's not about the people. The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son, Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. So the story says that Pilate wanted to let him go, and the priests in the synagogue said, no, don't let him go. Crucify him. Pilate went along with the priests, right? And they crucified Jesus. In Acts chapter 3:14, but ye denied the Holy One, desired murder to be granted unto you, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are the witness. And amazing scripture. And I wish we had the time to go through it, and maybe we will sometime. We'll go on, but I feel it's such a breakthrough for someone for this, and I felt it for 3 months. What you have in mind, God had a different idea. Get ready to walk. Get ready to be heard, right? The crippled man walked, right? Great. It's awesome. 40 years he was crippled. Man, if we saw that in here, we'd be like, wow, they were the same thing, right? Number two, the priests, the apostles were able to minister to the priests through a miracle. God used them. That was the first noted, if you didn't know this, it was the first noted miracle after the crucifixion, right? Jesus was gone, spent 40 days with the apostles. They met in the upper room. Praise God. People thought they were drunk. Read the scripture. People thought they were drunk. They spoke of it. These men must be drunk. And they said, no. And I had somewhere in here. Let me just read this to you. Oh, no, I don't know where. The best part of Acts chapter 3, and the part I want to leave you with, Acts chapter 3, I'm going to reread it. Acts chapter 3, verse 7. And he took him by the right hand after the healing. Right? Are you with me? Say yes. And lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankles and bones received strength. I'm going to leave you with this. Some of you, you need an immediately anointing. You need it in your family. You think it's okay? It's not okay. You played around with it. That drug problem that you've dealt with, played around with it. The rehab couldn't fix it for you. The job issue you have, you need an immediate anointing. That's what the scripture said, right? I just read it to you. Someone in this place, close your eyes all over this place. Someone in this place needs an immediate anointing. Someone needs a touch from the Master's hand. Just like Peter and John were used of God, there's men and women all over this house that have been used. They've grabbed the hand of the cripple. They've grabbed the hand of the brokenhearted. They've grabbed the hand of the hurting. And they've seen the immediate anointing work. But you haven't. And you say, Ryan, I've heard so many sermons and I've heard so many people talk it's just the same old thing. But I'll challenge you. Had Peter and John not walked to the temple, had this crippled man, 40 years of age, had he become too depressed and too aggravated to go and ask for alms at the temple door, this miracle would have never happened. Had the priest not showed up to the synagogue, the three miracles would have never happened. You showed up tonight for a reason, for something immediate, for an immediate anointing. And I felt this for 3 months, and I believe that you have to understand that God's been working on this in my spirit. 3 months ago, when I read this scripture, I felt the Lord say, Ryan, you need this immediate anointing. And I was laying in bed the other night, and Dad called me, and he's in Israel. He's in the city of Jerusalem, and if you read the story, it happened there. And he turned the phone to a priest, and I asked the question, do you know where this happened? Do you know where Acts 3 happened? And he says, oh yes, Ryan, I'll take your father there. He'll take pictures for you. You need that faith. You needed to hear that for the faith to take root in your spirit. You've been beat up for so long. You've been told you won't be healed for so long. You're like the crippled man. You go to church and you don't even ask for it anymore. You go for benevolence, or you go to see the girl, or you go to see the guy, but you need an immediate anointing. Someone in this place. If that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you that. Lift your hand right now. Father, you've seen these hands. Father, you know our hearts. God, I thank you for those who showed up. Father, by the power of your word, I ask right now for an immediate anointing. Father, we thank you that it was all part of your plan. That we had a thought, we had just an idea. But God, you had a different plan. And Father, tonight, I thank you for the power of your word. God, we just ask you that you'd teach us, that you'd mold us, Father, to read your word, to study your word. We thank you for these times, Father. We thank you for this tonight. God, I thank you for your people tonight, that they came out. Father, committed time for you for whatever the reason. We all have our reasons. You know that, Father. for whatever the reason. Thank you, Lord, that they came and they committed themselves. Would you say amen tonight, church? If you want to be prayed for tonight, I saw all the hands, right? I saw them. God saw them. You want to run out the back door? Go ahead. If you're in a rush to go, I don't know what you're going to watch. American Idol's not on, right? But if you're in a rush, go ahead. But if when I was speaking, you said, you know what, Ryan? I'll listen to that illiterate kid. I'll listen to that dyslexic kid. And I'll come to the altar. Remember, like I said earlier, I can't do it. John couldn't do it. Peter couldn't do it. But they could through Jesus, right? I love you. I think the world of all of you. I don't know all of you, but the ones I do know, I see around, I love all of you. Be blessed tonight. If you want me to pray for you, come down here. I'll stay down here. Chuck will stay down here. Be safe.